Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show today with Ben and Lauren. And we're just commenting because in our new studio, which you would have seen from the last episode, we the introduction music that you guys hear is what we used to hear in our old studio. So it helped us to sort of, you know, get a bit of a boogie on and
we
get the
dance
vibe
a bit before
and,
it started
and launch and into the episode. And yeah. Now in our new studio, we don't have the same recording setup.
Well, our video
it's still
guys
an
said,
awesome recording setup, but it's designed a little bit differently. And so
our video guy said I can just press record and then leave the room and leave you guys in there, but it means he's not here to turn the music
on and off.
So
which is good for him because he doesn't have to.
Well, he can get other work done.
Sit there and get other work done. And listen to us. But we don't have the cue in music and it feels incredibly strange. So
he just press record, shuts the door and walks out. So it's just us talking to a camera, which is
in a room.
Anyway.
Like weirdos.
Someone mentioned, I think I won't mention the waffle thing again because I think last time someone mentioned waffle. But someone
People
did say waffle on
waffle,
it's your show.
And
so,
like you say, it is our show. So
we tried to cut it out. We can't. So
getting into it.
Before we do. Make sure you subscribe.
Can you imagine if we were actually like friends in real life beyond just work capacity? Everyone would hate us. Anyway, we're talking campfire cooking gear today. So before we get into the nitty gritty of the episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening, whether that be through YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We have talked a little bit about campfire cooking gear before in little bits and bobs.
A bit more specific. This is more general.
Yeah, this is a bit sort of more general about what gear you need. So we touched on it in episode 3 when we talked about cast iron versus spun steel.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on it when we interviewed Harry Fisher I wrote that down somewhere.
Episode 70.
And also just as a bit of a point of reference, episode 6, we did a do you need a portable fire pit? So potentially another, if you're someone who doesn't listen to these episodes every week and you're just sort of picking and choosing content that's relevant to you, episode 6 might be a good one on whether or not fire pit is the right investment for you camping setup.
It's like nearly 2 years ago now.
I know.
It'd be really interesting I haven't listened to that one for a long time and I wonder if our opinions on that might have changed because that category's developed a lot in the last few years.
Yeah, it has developed a lot and it's an interesting thing to think about. I feel like potentially mine wouldn't have changed too much.
I can't even remember what our opinions were.
But I think we both said nay, but that was purely because of our own individual setups.
Yeah.
And camping styles. And most of the time you were like, I don't really need a fire.
Yeah.
Because I'm super minimalist, which is totally fine.
That doesn't change.
And I was like, I need a fire, but a way bigger one than a fire pit can handle. And that hasn't changed. But there are a lot of really awesome fire pits out now and the sort of space of fire pits in terms of, you know, like cooking accessories and bits and bobs and things is sort of starting to develop and companies are getting a bit creative of how they can make one compact. Anyway. We've also sort of touched on campfire cooking a fair bit in Q&A episodes that we do as well. Think of anything.
You do, like your style of camping, we've said it before, but your style of camping is pretty much based around the fire, right? You have a rolling fire.
Correct, yep.
Obviously during the non-fire ban seasons, but you have a rolling fire that you manage when you go camping. You set it up and it just rolls away for the entire time.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
You probably got loads to add to this one. I'm a bit more.
It's more, I feel a little bit imposter syndrome right now because this year has been challenging for a number of reasons and we realistically it's midwinter and we've been away once compared to, say, same time in all previous years, we probably would have been away 6 or 7 times already. So
it's reflected with me as
really,
well.
I'm really,
craving
really
a getaway.
Feeling it, really feel it. We were actually supposed to get away in the long weekend that's not long gone, but we couldn't because we booked this campsite and it was a new one. We hadn't been there before. Weather was all clear, but it rained like on the Wednesday, which meant that we couldn't get in because obviously we don't have like a proper four-wheel drive and the tracks to those campsites are not great. And do you remember that time where I got bogged?
You don't want to bog your sprinter again, do you?
It was not too sort of in the same region as that, with similar kind of soils and all that sort of jazz. And we were like, you know what? It's just not really something that we want to deal with this weekend, when that's a high possibility. So,
and the rains here in South Australia lately, it's not like a little bit of rain. We've had like massive downpours, so it can go from quite accessible
to a super heavy, flooded, boggy mess. Like just 30 mils in half an hour. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. So
anyway,
back to the topic at hand.
So gear, so we're starting off with, well, we're talking stuff that's specific to fires, but there is some gear that kind of crosses, like can also be used on a gas stove. Now, like spun steel, like the spun steel camp ovens have like a lid that basically serves as a fry pan. You can use it on the fire as well as on a gas stove. Mm. People do cook with cast iron on a gas stove as well.
Have you done that?
Yeah, you have.
Most of my cookware at home is cast iron. Okay. Yeah.
But you cook differently when you do it that way, right? Because I haven't used it on gas, but when you use cast iron in a excuse me, in a campfire, you put your coals on top so you get heat from top and bottom.
Yeah.
But you can't do that in a gas stove. So do you just cook slightly differently?
I don't. We actually have like the enamel coated cast iron stuff for stovetop cooking for pots and whatever. But we use just the normal black cast iron skillets and things like that on the fire. But you could generally just put a camp oven in the oven if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It'd just potentially take a little bit longer, I might think, to heat up than some of the more thinner ones, because they do tend to be a little bit thicker if they're campfire ones.
It's just like a big crock pot, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like if you've got a decent heavy duty stainless steel or steel pot set that's designed for use at home, there's no reason why you can't use it on your campfire. It would get a little bit charred and potentially a bit dinged up and whatever. It's not going to be like shiny at home cookware once you start using it on the campfire, but there's no reason why you can't use decent quality steel stuff on a campfire as well. So if you've already got those things at home, it's not like you need to go out and specifically buy a campfire dedicated or type of pot. But things like aluminium and non-stick type stuff, personally, I don't think is
well, they're not so good when it's really high temperatures, right, which you get in a campfire. So you got to avoid the non-stick lightweight aluminium, and also be careful of any I guess they're heat-proof handles, but I'm pretty sure some campfires would render a lot of those a melted mess.
Yes, so, definitely.
Just be mindful of your handles.
So in talking about hot handles and things like that, like before we sort of get into the physical cooking ware side of things, obviously growing up, campfire cooking's always been a part of family camping and all that sort of jazz. But when I started doing my own sort of independent camping and doing campfire cooking, I didn't have fire gloves or long tongs, and I thought, or like a lid lifter, you know what I mean? I just thought I'd be fine. And I sort of was a year or two of camping like that where I got away with it. But then when I eventually was like, nah, I'm going to buy some fire gloves, totally changed my life.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't got fire gloves. So
fire gloves are things that I would consider, or something that I would consider is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And also longer tongs, you know, like sometimes even just barbecue utensils that give you a bit of extra length.
Yep.
They're fine because I've lost the hair on my fingers and arms, not that I have a huge amount anyway, so many times. One time I even singed my eyebrows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's all good. Because, you know, I had to get like right in there and I didn't have the option of something a little bit longer. So they're the things that I say are 100% worth the investment. Long tongs, fire gloves. The other thing that I also recommend is having like a paint scraper in your kit, like a metal one.
Yep.
Because then you can just scrape off or scrape out your stuff. You don't always have to wash it or scrub it. It's very easy to just scrape it off when it's hot. And if you wanted to, you know, combine that with a decent spatula, you know, like those barbecue spatulas that double as a scraper and a spatula, you could do that.
Yeah, okay.
But I find because they usually have a plastic handle, I don't like them a huge amount for campfire cooking, so I just use a paint scraper and just have like a longer handled metal spatula.
We've got shovel listed here too, so that's something I definitely have, a long-handled shovel so you can stand back and scoop coals.
Yeah.
But I just have just work gloves. They're the work gloves, not as good as the fire gloves because they're not as thick.
Mm-hmm.
Long-handled shovel and a lid lifter, so like a hook to lift the lid.
Yeah, lid lifters are pretty good too.
And also to lift the camp oven in and out. So there's probably a short list of essentials you need to manage cooking on the fire.
Yeah, I would say like there's nothing really outside of that you would need in terms of accessories for cooking. And you could just use a tea towel instead of having gloves or whatever, but it's just a hell of a lot easier having gloves.
Obviously, that's excluding food prep and everything. This is just managing the utensils in the fire. Because you can't chop your carrots with your paint scraper.
Food prep with your giant big fire gloves on. No thanks.
Anyway. Beating mashed carrot with a shovel or something like that.
We're getting a bit crazy here.
Yeah, we are.
So, also, as we touched on before, like we'll go into some campfire cooking gear, but if you are someone who's looking for a fire pit, a lot of fire pits these days, as I mentioned before, they might already come with a barbecue grill or a hot plate or some sort of insert. So if you're wanting to do just quite basic barbecue style cooking, you don't necessarily need, and you have a fire pit, you don't necessarily need to buy additional gear if you're getting sort of like an all-in-one fire pit type setup. So that's probably worth
folding ones have got an adjustable stainless steel grate that goes up and down. One of them now has a little cast iron grate that goes in it as well.
Yeah, a little cast iron like dish.
So there's quite a few options there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got run through. Now you've put this information together, the cooking on open fires, starting with a very basic setup, which is just a freestanding grill or hot plate. And by that you mean just something that has legs that fold out and you stick it over the top of the fire.
Yep.
In its simplest form.
Pretty much.
Yep.
And I think that you could, unless you want to sort of get into baking and cakes and casseroles and stews, that's pretty much all you need, realistically. You could, even if you've got some saucepans at home and things like that, or you've got skillets or whatever you've got, they can sit on those grills. You can put coals under them. You can cook on them. You can use the grill like a barbecue, like the open-ended one if you want to do steaks or burger patties or whatever in that sort of more flame grill side of things. You've got the hot plate. You can do bacon. You can do eggs. You can even do toast on the grilled side of things. As I said before, you can put your skillet and your pan on. So realistically, having, a decent, when I say decent size, I mean, a size appropriate to you, whether or not you're a family of six or there's just the two of you or you're a solo or whatever, you pretty much wouldn't ever have to buy anything else if you didn't have to, didn't want to.
You got heat control with those is a common sense there as well. You put it straight over the fire, it's as hot as it's going to be. If you don't want it as hot, put it next to the fire and put some coals underneath.
Correct.
Or if you want not as quite as hot a flame grill, just put a smaller amount of timber underneath and cook on that. So that's how you get the heat control with one of those implements.
Yeah, absolutely. You can easily just pop coals in and out and like fill it up even more. It just sort of sits there and you can put it off to the side, or it can have its little permanent spot. It's not overly massive. It's not taking up heaps of room. Doesn't require anything crazy to set it up. You literally just whip it out and get the legs out and put it down.
Yeah. It'll probably get greasy and ash and stuff all over it. So if you've got a good bag to store it in, then it usually packs flat in the back of the car and easy one to get in and out as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Camp ovens then.
Yep.
So a lot of people start off with camp ovens, which I find interesting, but I guess it's like the
I've got it. I don't have one of those. I don't know why, but I don't have one of the grills that we talked about before.
Yeah.
Got a camp oven.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people were like, oh yeah, camp oven. And I don't know if it's just because of damper, everyone sort of go to is, oh, I'm going to make damper.
Yeah.
But I sort of think that having a grill and like most of the time, if you're going camping, I'm just going to make some broad assumptions here, which obviously aren't going to be right for everybody. But if you're going camping, you're probably going to have a fry pan or a hot plate that sits on your gas stove and you're probably going to be cooking some sausages, or you're probably going to be cooking some kebab sticks, or you're probably going to be doing burger patties, or you know what I mean? Like for it's most simpler. People, that's the sort of cooking that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you don't want to carry a stove and you don't want to carry all the gas and you're going to have a campfire anyway, it's just simpler and easier to just get a grill and mm-hmm. to just literally transfer the cooking that you're already doing.
Yep.
If I'm talking like super basic for people who haven't really cooked on the campfire before. But then obviously with things like damper and stuff like that, you're not cooking on your camp stove.
No, so the camp oven.
I mean, you probably could if you wanted to, but the camp oven is more of a unique.
Yeah, it's a bit more practice to cook in it. You could just cook a stew or anything, I suppose, and you can team that up with a grill. You could put your camp oven on the grill.
Of course you could. But yeah, for sure.
Having a camp oven and a grill gives you both that cooking surface as well as an oven to cook in. But the oven side of it, for beginners, I'm not saying don't give it a go. Jump in and have a try.
Definitely
but
your
first damp is probably not going to turn out perfectly. You need to kind of get used to
the whole heat distribution. Like I think that episode that we did with King Brown and Mick Villa Akoff, they were like, just give it a go because who cares if you burn it? And that's exactly right. But I think like if you're starting off doing like using a grill and doing sort of more hot plate cooking and more generic cooking like that, it's getting you used to working with a fire. Yep. It's getting you used to heat control. It's giving you a more of a tangible baseline for, oh, if this amount of coals roughly equates to this amount of heat. And I think sometimes if you're starting with camp oven cooking, like stews and things like that, less of a issue because that's more just like cooking in a saucepan, right?
Yep.
But if you want to do roasts or dampers or things like that, I think the biggest hurdle is people understanding temperature.
Yeah.
And so if you have experience with cooking on a fire through something like a grill, then you've got more of that introduction and understanding of how it all works. Does that make sense? Familiarization with it?
Yeah, it probably won't make sense to people listening because I don't think it's – and I know what you mean. It's not until you use it that you perhaps understand that a small amount of coal actually radiates a heck of a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And by using a grill and putting a small amount of coal under there, you might put too much and realize you've nuked your sausages and you went, actually, that small amount of coal puts off a lot of heat. I don't need to. And you also get used to how long it puts – heat off for when it's out of the fire and when you might need to top it up. So
yeah,
that's all a good learning curve, I reckon.
But yeah, so we've touched on in episode 3, we talked about cast iron versus spun steel. So we don't want to obviously
rehash
too much of that. But you can get camp ovens in a range of different sizes and sort of shapes and styles. Especially with the spun steel, there's a bit more like Baduris are flat and wide.
Yep.
And the Southern Metal Spinners are a bit taller and more traditional camp oven shaped.
Yep.
But basically, the long and the short of it is that they're a really great multi-use thing, like you mentioned earlier in the piece. They work really well as a saucepan. And you know, like generic pots and pans as well as a camp oven. And they're a little bit more trickier to use as a camp oven, but they are a really good all-rounder.
Yep.
Do
you know the Baduris are a flatter one? Do you know why they're flatter?
Something to do with fitting in the pack, the saddle pack for a horse, because that was designed.
I don't know if we covered
for a station.
I don't know if we covered it in our last episode, but there's no specific reason other than to make it more packable.
Yeah, make it more packable
for transporting a horse back in the day.
But with those, like the Baduri ones, for example, the lid sits over it, like, you know, like an upside down cap and then you can flip that over and use that as a fry pan if you want. But then with a Southern Metal Spinners one, the lid sort of is inverted and nests sits in the top. So then the top of the lid gets used as a fry pan. So they're two sort of different ways of doing it. But then you've got a camp oven and you've also got a fry pan.
Yep.
And then you've got a saucepan. And then they're a good multi-purpose.
Yep.
And type thing.
Good to go straight on gas. You're going to get, if you put cast iron on gas, you've got to wait for a little while for all to heat through.
Yeah.
It's heavy to transport. The spun steel also really durable in terms of bouncing around. You can't crack spun steel. It'll dent, but you can transport it.
Yeah. So, but cast iron ovens obviously are really great for replicating what you would do in your oven at home, hence why they're called a camp oven.
Yep.
And also your slow cooker. like doing slow cooked stuff, in my personal opinion, cannot be beat doing it in a cast iron camp oven.
Yeah.
Like lamb shanks and
I think
stews, even curries, like so good.
Even the fry pans and stuff, in terms of cooking like a large steak, so with an even distribution of heat, the cast iron distributes that heat quite well.
Yeah, definitely.
And cooks better on a lower heat over a longer amount of time. I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
I know what you're trying to say.
Remember at ACOF, which is Australian Camp Oven Festival, mm-hmm. King Brown, I think it was, had the cast alloy camp ovens as well, which were pretty cool.
Cast aluminium?
Cast aluminium, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
They were quite expensive. But they're basically like, he really liked them.
He did,
Basically like cast iron, but much lighter because it's aluminium. So I've never used them. But
me either.
Cool. Yeah. We don't sell them at Snowy, so.
We don't.
I just thought I'd mention it anyway.
I sort of find that interesting as well, because I think, I mean, I don't come at me, anybody who's listening to this, but I think there is also information out there around using aluminium cookware, and whether or not it's right for you or healthy for you, and like.
Yeah, I think it's.
You know, so it's sort of. Yeah, I don't – maybe – I'm wondering if maybe that's why they potentially haven't taken off too much, because
possibly.
Aluminium cookware used to be all the rage, didn't it? And now it's just not anymore.
Yeah. My understanding, and I think it's something people need to read into and work out what their own position is on it, but I'm happy to – from my what I've read into it, I'm happy to use it to like boil water, but I'm not happy to use it where I'm stirring constantly and I can scrape the surface of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, some people might – I think there was something that I've read one time about – and obviously if I'm having a conversation about this with my mates, I'll be like, oh, yeah, this. But obviously I'm in a podcast and people are listening to it, and I'm like, I don't want to be I don't know what I'm talking about.
Redacting what you're saying here.
Yeah. Well, I'm not redacting it, but what I mean is like I think there's like, you know, the information that I've come across is links to potentially Alzheimer's and stuff like that, and like heavy metal content in food and all that sort of jazz. But it's like some people might go – Ma, who cares if I get Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
Like not a risk factor for me that I care about. And other people might be like, oh, you know, that's a really big deal for me and I'm not going to use that. And that's totally fine. It's the same with nonstick cookware. Mm. Some people don't want to use nonstick cookware. Some people don't care whatsoever.
Yep.
So, cast aluminium
if it concerns camp ovens. You, read into it.
If you don't care about aluminium cookware, then that might be worth looking into.
Otherwise, grab a cast iron or a spun steel one from snowys.com.
Nice one, Wendy. Anyway, keep going now.
So for a very basic setup, one or both of the above is kind of all you need.
Yeah.
To get cooking on it.
Yeah.
Cooking some awesome food.
I would say if you're someone who is a beginner in wanting to do things like damper and things, I would probably lean towards cast iron. I'd probably recommend you go to cast iron.
It's easier to manage the heat.
Primarily, you're wanting to, if you're like, I really just want to crank out some damper for my family when we go away and that's really all I'm interested in, go with a cast iron oven instead of a spun steel oven.
Yeah.
I mean, still get a grill too, obviously, so you can do other cooking. But in terms of that baking side of things.
We had this conversation with a lot of people at ACOF, and there's some are cast iron, some are spun steel. Like there's no right or wrong. Excuse me. I do like cooking in cast iron because of the heat distribution. But in saying that, I've not actually cooked in spun steel. So
it's
probably a pointless comment that I just made.
Anyway, so basically everything that we've talked about is all you need to just be like a campfire cooking wizard.
Fry up some food and bake some
a grill,
basic stuff that tastes
a grill slash
awesome
hot plate and a camp oven, long tongs, fire gloves. That's literally all you need. You can, the world is your oyster if you have that sort of stuff. But
if you want to go next level.
If you want to go next level and you're someone who's a bit fancy, or potentially you're not fancy, you just have a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of food to cook. Talking from experience. There are other sort of systems that you can get.
Yep.
Now I have a hillbilly.
Which we don't carry.
We don't do hillbilly anymore. And I think I've mentioned it in the podcast, but it was something to do with like when COVID came and, you know, issues with sourcing raw materials and blah, 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 and not being able to fulfill, commercial quantities, mm-hmm. but you still can get directly from Hillbilly, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of other brands that do something similar, and it's essentially just this massive big spike that you hammer in next to your fire, and you can get a range of different accessories. Hillbilly in particular have a whole host of different things you can get, but you can get hooks on it to hang saucepans and billies, mm-hmm. and you can get you can get grill plates, whether that be a solid hot plate or an open grill. You can get fry pans, you can get woks, you can anything you want, you can pretty much get it. And it just, you lift it a little bit and swing it into the fire, and you lift it a little bit and you swing it out.
Yep. For those who are wondering, it's a little bit like what you see in some national parks where they'll have a fire pit and
they do have them sort of permanently.
Yeah, and it's usually just one hot plate that you swing over the fire, then you swing off the fire. Well, you can get your own set up like that with the stake and various, you can put heaps of attachments on it, like billy hangers and hot plates and grills.
All sorts of things.
Even I think Hillbilly have even got like an actual like a wok attachment that
you can just
attach the whole wok on there. So
and so some brands will be like Hillbilly's very, what's the word? Not segmental. It's like an ecosystem of products for that. But then other brands, like I think Companion/Campfire, they do just a generic comes in a box. That's all you can get for it type thing.
Hot plate and a grill.
Yeah. And there's a couple of different, I think even Coleman did one at some stage. I don't know. There's a couple of brands out there and there's a couple of options for that. I think that they're a really cool system. The things that I've found with it that can be a little bit of a barrier is that it's a lot and it's heavy.
Mm.
So it's not something that's really suitable for popping away for the weekend. It's something that, you know, three days at least is sort of something that justifies carrying all that stuff.
Or cooking for a massive group of
people. Yeah, or cooking for a massive group of people. But, yeah, it is very heavy. Sometimes it can be a bit of a pain. You know, if you're not maintaining it properly, it can be a bit of a pain trying to get it in and out. And sometimes it sort of slips down and then it's really hot. And so in terms of sort of management side of things, there can be little tricky bits to it. And sometimes it's not as –
the ground sometimes as well, which
– yeah, got to get the stake in the ground, you know. So I love it and it really suits what we need it for. And I think it's a really great system. But there are some limitations to it, and I'm sort of starting to lean more, I've noticed when we go away, towards packing just like a larger collapsible grill and a couple of ovens and sort of just trying to keep it to that.
There's some quite elaborate things out there too. The some things that we don't even carry at Snowy's is Osbra and a few other. They're quite
do some cool things.
You can spend a heck of a lot of money on these sort of things, and they've got some great ideas. So
if I had a heck of a lot of money, I would mostly be spending it on this stuff,
they're
I think.
Aren't they? Tripod also.
Tripods are as they sound. They're just like usually three legs. I think I've even seen one with four, with like a chain in the middle.
Yep.
But it depends. Like I've seen ones where there's like a big inbuilt grill thing that you can sit pots on. There's ones that you hang pots on, that's hang the billy on. I've seen ones with multiple chains.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen ones that are sort of like, you know, those A-frame playground things in people's backyards.
Like a swing with a bar in the middle.
So it's like two triangles on one end and a bar in the middle, and there's things that sort of hang down from that and across the fire. And there's a whole range of different sort of elaborate setups around and
lots
available.
Lots of backyard setups as well, people making their own things, because it's really just, if you can weld, it's just a bunch of metal put together with hooks on it so you can hang things over the campfire. And using a chain allows you to adjust the height.
Yep.
And that is then heat management.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's a cheap option if you need to suspend something above the fire. And that brings in, we've mentioned here, billies as well. If you want to, if you don't want to put the billy in the fire, you just want to hang it above the fire.
Yep.
Tripod's a really easy way to be able to do that.
Yep, absolutely. So, and I'm pretty sure that's about it. Like I know we've sort of, if you're someone who listens to us fairly regularly, we've probably touched on a lot of this information before, but we just sort of wanted to have a consolidated episode that really covers most of this sort of stuff and the stuff that you essentially weed out what you need and what you don't need when it comes to this sort of thing.
Probably to summarize, if you want to get started without spending the earth, just get a grill.
Yeah,
if you're happy to cook some sausages or steaks or whatever and some fire gloves.
Fire gloves and a grill.
If you're interested in baking, then a cast iron camp oven is going to get you your foot in the door without spending too much. If you're worried about weight, then spend a bit more and get the spun steel. And then just add the accessories that you think you might need. But starting with those two things, have a go with a few recipes and add to it as you think you need it. I know I got given many, many years ago a cast iron saucepan.
Yeah.
I reckon I've maybe used it once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And even thinking I should try and use it more, I just haven't. So someone gave it to me as a gift. But yeah. If I bought that because I thought, I might need it, then it would have been a waste of money, because I didn't use it. So for the camp oven, I have used heaps. So start with what you know you're going to use.
Yeah.
And add to that from there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I would also, you know, if you're someone who does cook on the campfire a lot, love to know what your absolute essentials are,
yep.
Whether you also think a paint scraper and fire gloves are essential or if it's just me. I think there's going to be some stuff that's pretty universal, but if anyone has other little tips or tricks or things that they have in their campfire cooking kit where that they're like, nah, this is a 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Are not to be missed, please let us know.
Do you know that's the second painting item that I've found out is quite useful also for camping? Because the paintbrush is useful for camping as well.
Yeah, you said that.
Have I?
Oh,
I've broken yeah. record now.
You've said it not this episode, but you've said it in the past about a paintbrush.
Oh, yeah, just for, you know, you pulled up after a dusty track and you just need to dust the back of your car before you open it up or cast like on a camp
seals
oven.
Or just in your door grooves or
clean the ash off your. Off
yeah,
your car,
now, yeah, paintbrush and paint scraper. There you go.
So go to Snowy's and then call in past Paints R Us on the way home, whatever your local paint store is,
and
get yourself
me.
Some painting equipment.
Yes.
Anyway, we should have mentioned too that a lot of this stuff can be set up somewhat permanently as well if it's a like the hillbilly stuff, which is steel. You could kind of set that up in your backyard semi-permanently.
Yep.
And use it from there.
As long as you're sort of using your same with fire pits, right? Any sort of campfire cooking related stuff where it's going to be exposed to heat and different temperatures and potentially different weathers, just a coat of oil, you know, like a cheap can of cooking spray oil or whatever. After you've finished with your cookware, just give it a wipe down, a scrape off and spray it with that and you're laughing.
Yep.
Cool
beans. That's a simple view on campfire cooking. Let us know your favorite recipes as well.
I've also realized that we have, with our change of studios and everything around that, we've forgotten to do our story of the week at the end of our episodes as well, or story of the fortnight now. But
it's been a bit frantic lately.
Has been a bit frantic lately.
Squeeze another episode in. We'll get back on top of things.
We'll get back on top of the stories of the week. Stories of the fortnight.
We don't want to come to you with nothing. So.
And if you have a story of the fortnight that you want featured on the podcast, that's also probably a good opportunity to chuck it in the comments or go on the Facebook group and post about it.
We could talk about, I didn't check. One of our viewers on the Facebook group showed us as a video projector in his new Zenpie tent. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. And also that's an amazing Zenpie tent, which we don't sell, and there's not a huge amount of information around and videos around on it. It's like I think it's the Delta Force big canvas family
heavy duty cabin tent.
If you are interested, you can see that video on our Facebook group. Anyway,
check it out. Better go.
We're done. Better go, folks.
Thanks, guys.
Catch you later.
See you next time.